Welcome to the Sandler Foundations, Chapter 8, Closing the Sale, Fulfillment, and Post-Sell. The following audio is copyrighted by Sandler Systems Incorporated, protected by U.S. copyright laws, and all Sandler Foundations material is for your personal use and is not to be disseminated to any other person. Your trainer, Greg Kessler.
Good to be with you again. Really, closing the sale is the moment of truth. Couple different ways of looking at it. Now, number one, you can look at it as the reward. Closing the sale is a reward for doing a good job qualifying the prospect. Or you can look at it, and this is the second way, as the agonizing price you pay for not doing a good job qualifying the prospect. Now, let's face it. If you'd done a good job qualifying the prospect, you would have found a need. You would have understood the observed problem, the symptoms and causes for that problem, and certainly the impact. You would have uncovered a budget, identified a decision-making process that you could agree to. That was what would have happened if you qualified the prospect. You would have disqualified the prospect for a couple of the same reasons. Number one, they didn't have a true need or problem, issue, challenge, or concern that you could in fact fix. You did some bracketing, you found out they didn't really have a budget, nor were they willing and able to invest in the solution, and they had a decision process that you wouldn't tolerate, right? You would have disqualified the prospect. So in this stage, really, it's an upfront contract, and the upfront contract has really been set very early on. The contract was set. This is the mere promise. This is the mere fulfillment of those promises made earlier in the selling process. Now, we're going to take a lot of different looks at ways that you can actually lose the sale in this step. Maybe adding too much new information, misleading the prospect into different directions, directions that they never really said were important to them, and maybe, you know, even making some promises of things that were never really there. Now, we're going to take some time, and we're going to look at the things that we do even after we've closed the prospect. We talk about the post-sell step, and there are three very, very important factors. How do we prevent buyer's remorse? How do we prevent vendor vengeance? How do we set up a nice cadence of conversation for, hey, best communication, future business, and referrals? Another thing to remember, how do we set up a good way to figure out how we're doing, right? Our scorecard. You know, we did a lot and we talked a lot about expectations, both theirs and ours, but what are they grading us on? What a great time to ask questions like that. It's not just, hey, we sold you, by the way, figure it out from here. That's not the way. We want to find out really what's important to them as far as you're concerned when we take it from sales to delivery and process. So, at the end of this session, we're going to learn a couple things. Number one, the value of setting a good pain step, budget, and decision. It's important also that we understand there are elements when it comes to presenting. When we talk about our presentation style, four major elements throughout that process. We'll also take a look at the three major factors of a post-sell step and the key reasons for not getting a sale. Now, the big question is, are you ready to close the sale? Let's get started. Are you ready to confirm the close? Important to understand, before we move into the fulfillment step, do you have your goals in order? Okay, it's important that we understand the pain, the compelling emotional reason, and do we have a solution fit for that need? We would have disqualified early if we didn't have pain, because we know that people's greatest motivator to take an action is based on pain. So have you uncovered it? Do you also, and have you identified a budget? Budget with of what they were willing and able to invest in. And do you have that? And do you know that? Third, the decision-making process. Within your presentation, you should understand what the decision process is for your prospect, who else needs to be in the room, why decisions are made the way they're made, right? Where does the decision have the greatest impact? All those things are important to your presentation. Now, one additional thing I'll add within your presentation is something called an ultimate upfront contract. Now, that's something you do right before you move into presentation mode. And what it is, it's a contract between you and your prospect as to what happens at the end of the presentation. Now, post-sell, same type of situation. What are the goals? Is it to prevent the buyer's remorse, right? That's where the competitor can kind of enter the picture again. And what do? They think to themselves, wait a minute, if I could only make my current supplier a little bit more honest with this new information I have, right? How do you prevent that from happening? And if you've heard that or felt that before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Also, vendor vengeance, right? Your competitor, your new prospect has always been your competitor's either customer or prospect. So you can count on them making a move. How do you prevent that from happening? How do you set up the future, which includes you, for future business, for referrals, and best communication? Have you had those in line, and have you actually done a good sort of pre-call plan for your presentation? All critical pieces. Now, there's a lot of ways to lose the sale that are out of your control. What do I mean by that? Well, the prospect, the best presentations in the world, have prospects that do a couple things. One thing they might do is they might give you inaccurate information. In other words, the information they shared with you really wasn't necessarily the truth. Worst case, circumstances have changed. They just forgot to tell you about those. How do you combat that? And not in an aggressive way, but really nurturing. By asking questions like, hey, listen, it's been a couple days since we last talked. When it came to the budget that you said you had to invest in this solution, has anything changed there? Again, if you don't ask, you'll never know. Get it on the table, especially if you feel it. Because let's face it, there's a rule and it's important. If you feel it, say it. Just say it gently. Now again, you can only manage your own behaviors, the things that you say. You can't manage your prospects, but you certainly can lead them. You certainly can help them discover. Now, what we've found is that a lot of people will make some mistakes even prior to presenting. Now, our presentation step is relatively small. There's some elements, surely, but these are going to be some of the shortest videos you see, primarily because everything you've done up to this point that has led to the presentation has really been talked about. All the heavy lifting's been done. Your fulfillment step, your presentation, are all those promises really fulfilled to your prospect? So, where people make mistakes is before the presentation, when they quickly move through a pain step, right? They just can't wait to get through it. Meanwhile, this is the number one place to find out what's most important, right? Another thing they do from time to time is they like to present during the pain step. Bad idea. When your prospect's talking, that's time to listen, not time for you to share ways you can help. Doctors don't do it. Be the doctor of sales and make sure you don't do it. Additionally, you don't set an upfront contract for the presentation. The presentation ends and then you know what you do? It would be like doing a bow and then saying, okay, I'm fine if you just give me a call in a couple weeks and tell me what you decided to do. That's not a presentation. A presentation really expertly navigates throughout the process as to what's going to happen after. They should know, and they should know early, your prospects that is, what's going to happen at the end. It should also be mentioned that when you're in your presentation mode, you present to the pains that the prospect mentioned and only those pains. Now, you're going to see stalls. You're going to see objections. What's the best way to handle them? Call it out. If you notice someone uncomfortable, if you notice someone looking around, making faces, or seeming uninterested in what you're talking about, number one, you may have missed the mark on what you're presenting and did you present to the pains, but additionally, it may be a good opportunity to check in. Find out how well what you've talked about has resonated up to that point, right? We got to call that a check-in. So the big question is, are you ready to confirm the close? We're going to be looking at the fulfillment step, the ways we present, the elements of a presentation step shortly. Looking forward to it. As you begin fulfillment, you should remember that there is a direct correlation between the qualification process and closing the sale. Let me explain to you what I mean. A brief summary of the fulfillment really breaks it down into four major elements. I'm going to spend a little time on each one, and then I'm going to show you a tactic during the close. Number one, you've got to review what's happened up to this point. What do I mean by that? Well, throughout this process, throughout this experience, with this new opportunity, there's been bonding, there's been trust. There have been ground rules set. They've shared with you some of their intimate, emotional, compelling reasons that they need you. The budget, the decision process, all those things. Now, it's important for you before you present to review. And what I mean by that is you bring them up again before your presentation. Why would you do that? Couple reasons. One, to find out if, geez, anything's changed. Wouldn't that affect your presentation? Wouldn't that affect the outcome of your presentation? Also to find out what inaccurate, if any, information has really crossed your way. And are you prepared to deal with that? I think a lot of times what happens is we're so excited to present because we finally have a living, breathing prospect that's looking at us and saying, we're ready, that we just go in there and flood them with information, sometimes information that isn't even pertinent to them. So it's important that we review the pains, the problems they shared, and the impacts of those problems. We also talk about the budget they said they were willing and able to invest, and the decision process. And then we set the ultimate upfront contract for the presentation. Now that's all review for you. Let me show you what it might sound like. Now, Chris, I appreciate the you inviting me in today to share some of the solutions we have for some of the things that you mentioned were important. Is it okay if we do a quick recap? Okay, great. Now, in our last few meetings, you've mentioned repetitively that you've had an existing issue and concern with XYZ, and we're frustrated by the fact that no matter how many times you've tried, you've ended up with this particular outcome. Has anything changed there for you since we've last spoken? Okay. Now, when you got together with your team, you also decided that you had a budget anywhere from X to Z, and you were willing and able to invest in a solution if it made sense for you. Okay, all right. Additionally, you mentioned that along with you, Chris, that Marcia and Bill would need to be part of the meeting, and I see that both are here. Now, when you look around the room, is there anyone else you feel might influence or have impact on this decision and they're not present? Okay, yeah, I know you've told me that a few different times. I guess it's important now for us to really kind of figure out together what happens at the end of the presentation. And I know I've shared this with you a couple times. You know, my fears are always that you may be thinking you need time to think about it, and you may say, you know, we need to kind of meet with some other folks. Listen, let's be completely upfront with each other at the end. If we don't think it makes sense for any reason, we'll tell each other today. Alternatively, if it does make sense, we move forward today, and moving forward today would mean we actually fill out paperwork and get you started. Are you comfortable with those potential outcomes? Okay. My biggest fear is, again, that you'd go back and need more time when really we've spent so much time already figuring out what's best. Let's move on with the presentation, and then I move into my presentation. Very important questions to ask throughout this. Has anything changed? It's one of those questions that never seems to get asked, but it's so vital, right? Because we know that sometimes things do. It's good to get that up there now. Now, why don't people do it? Let's challenge the theory. Why? They don't want to hear bad news. Do you want to hear bad news after you spend time presenting, after you think you've really been spot on and nailed it, to find out that there were issues? And by the way, Tom really needs to be part of this. He really needs to hear this. We're asking before we present. Why? Because it takes time on our end, and our time is extremely vital to us. Energy, money. Think about the proposals you put together. Time, money, and energy. Let's talk about equal business stature. How many times are you prepared to deliver a presentation, an RFP, an RFQ, to prospects that were really suspects and really weren't even qualified prospects? I know it sounds crazy, but it happens all the time. Now, after we move out of our review and our ultimate upfront contract, which is really the first element of presentations and fulfillment, step two is present. Dun-dun-dun. Finally, here in the sixth step of the Sandler system, you can present. And there's a very important rule. You present only to the pains that the prospects shared were important. No new information. The rule is sell today, educate tomorrow. Now, as you're presenting, another pitfall we see is sometimes we present too much without checking to see how it's resonated. So we have a tactic. We really have a technique for that. It's called the thermometer close. And here's what it sounds like. After you've done presenting, and by the way, the widget does this, and here's how it does that, and here's how it helps you accomplish the goal of that, And they look, and if you were going to bow, that would be the time, and then you'd say, but listen, I have a lot to cover with you today. Now, I want you to think for a second, group, on a 0 to 10 scale, and one is absolutely no interest, zero interest in what I've shared so far. And a 10 is, you don't need to see anything else, you love it. Where would you say you are, right? And I'm now checking to see where my new prospects that are sitting for my presentation, where they stand. Now, there's a lot of ways to do it, but the 1 to 10 or 0 to 10 scale, and maybe tell them what a 1 is, tell them what a 10 is, and tell them, ask them where they are. If they say 9, you could say, is it that you don't give 10s? Or is there something I haven't shown you? And they may say, no, Greg, I never give 10s, but you're doing really good, a 9. I might say, what are the things you love about what I shared just now? Well, we love this, we love that, we love that. Great. What would I go to next? What would be best to cover next? Because now, even though in my head I think I know what they want to see next, it's always nice to ask. I've got them preloaded, baby. I'm set up. Ask. So, where should I go next? They may say, Greg, we need a little time to talk. And would you mind if we just kind of talk privately for a moment? They're maybe talking on whether or not they've seen enough. So another rule, you never have to finish the full presentation. The best presentation they'll see is something they'll get is the one they almost never see, because they've made their mind up on you a long time ago. Presentation is just that. It's all the things you sort of promised up to that point fulfilled for them. Now, after you've presented, after you've closed and our thermometer closed, there's only one thing left to do. Confirm. Confirm the sale. Confirming the sale really might be congratulations, or what would you like me to do next? It's a great question. What would you like me to do next? When they say, Greg, we're a 10. Greg, we're a 9.5 because we don't give 10s. We've seen everything we need to see. We know where we stand. You know what sometimes people do? They say, great. Well, why don't you guys think about it for a little while, and I'll give you a call next week, or you can give me a call. That's a broken contract. What did we say? We said at the end we were going to tell each other, no, it doesn't make sense, or yes, it does. So, perfect timing. Let's do just that. What would you like me to do next? Or, if you want to dive even deeper, you might say this. You might say, guys, and you lean in, do you want my help on this project? Look in, say those words. Guys, that would be my hot list item. I would jot it down immediately. Do you want my help on this project? Would you like my help on this? Mean it with conviction, passionately. You know you've got the cure. Say it. Do you want my help on this project? That's confirmation. Then congratulate your new customer. Congratulate your new client. And by the way, congratulate yourself, because you're ready for the post-sale step. Can I ask you a tough question, or a couple questions? Have you ever been the victim of buyer's remorse? Has a new customer ever canceled and gone back to the competitor or the incumbent vendor? They canceled for that reason? If any of the answers to those questions is yes, then the post-sell would be something you'd want to implement and implement on every close you have. Now, the post-sell step is the last step in the 7 steps of the Sandler selling system. But we find ourselves and professionals worldwide using the post-sell step in a lot of different places within the sales process. Let me explain what I mean. If you set an appointment, perhaps for a phone call or a face-to-face meeting, and let's just use Amanda for the example. Amanda, hey, listen, I know we've really had a great conversation today, and you mentioned that you wanted to talk next week. Let's get out our calendars. When you look at next week, what do you see is available? And Amanda says, well, Greg, you know, Tuesday and Thursday are really the only days I have. And I'd say, okay, well, I can look at Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday's going to be kind of limited for me. What days do you have? What times do you have available on Tuesday and Thursday? It's really 2 o'clock on either day, Greg, are going to be the times I'd have able to talk. And I'd say, okay, well, that makes some sense then. Why don't we shoot for Tuesday at 2? Now, I'll be moving some things around a little bit on my schedule. And I'll most likely send you an Outlook invitation. Sound good? And of course, Amanda says, sure. Now, I didn't really post-sell that. What did I find? I found that her schedule is kind of like a moving target. Tuesday and Thursday are the only times that Amanda has available, and she's given me Tuesday at 2. Now, my time is very important to me, as I'm sure it is for you, and certainly for Amanda. what would be a great way for me to post-sell that? So we've already kind of decided that 2 o'clock would be best. We've got it locked in the calendar, and I even mentioned I'd be sending her an Outlook invitation. And most sales professionals that I'll work with will say they send an Outlook invitation. How do we post-sell it? Here's what it might sound like. So, Amanda, I have us locked in at 2 o'clock. And I have to say this, it sounds like right now your schedule's really like a moving target. And, you know, I'm gonna move some things around to make that call at 2, but I want you to think for a moment, is there any reason, or do you believe there'd be any reason why you'd need to cancel that appointment at 2 o'clock on Tuesday? Some people's knees would shake to say that, because why would I tamper with someone that said yes? The reason being, I deal with a lot of people that tell me, yeah, we can talk next week. But I did a very, very quick post-sell to making sure, and at least putting in their mind that topical bomb which says, I'm not gonna break plans with Greg. I'm not gonna break the appointment, because guess what? Greg already gave me an opportunity to do that, to say no, I can't. It just makes my appointments a bit more rock solid, and I can sleep better at night. And by the way, if I have to travel, and if those of you that travel to appointments, that's a lot of time, money, and energy on your end. Now, speaking of bombs and topical bombs at this place, we talked about the fact that if you wanna get rid of a bomb, the best way to diffuse it is to do it immediately, right? Diffuse the bomb if you wanna get rid of it. And that's what happens a lot of the time within our sales process. Now let's shift that to a sale. We've just closed the sale. How do we prevent buyer's remorse? How do we prevent cancellation because of the competitor and the incumbent vendor? It's sort of similar. Now, I won't really make you have heartburn and think about the idea that when you're finished with a contract, you would take the contract, push it over to your new client and say, I want you to look at this contract and make sure right now this is everything that we discussed. And there's no absolute reason that you'd feel that you're not getting exactly what we discussed. And you swing it over to their side, you have them look at it, and let me tell you something, it will change the way your customer feels when they're done. They'll know it. It would be like asking your customer, listen, we didn't have any red pens. We only have blue pens. And you mentioned you were okay with a blue pen, even though you wanted red. Can you think of any reason why? And now's the time that this pen is not exactly what you want, because I know we already talked about it. Are we comfortable with this? Give them another opportunity to say no. It's almost like going for the no after it's gone yes. Now, I've taken it to an extreme point. Let's bring it back a few layers. What are the other ways in which a post-sell can be effective? Because let's face it, it's one of the most important steps, because we do a lot of work in our process. We follow a lot of steps and we go through a lot of methodology to get to a place, because guess what? When we are in control of the process, we're doing great things. The end of the sale and the post-sale step is no time to take our foot off the gas. We also need to figure out how do we place ourselves in our new client's future. And what do I mean by that? When are we talking about future business? Because let's face it, a lot of times we work with clients and they tell us, look, Greg, we're so happy. We really like the business we're doing with you. And by the way, we've got a lot of projects coming up. Now, that meant a lot to me when I heard it. I have to bring it up now. Why? They're my new client. It's the best time to talk about new business. You might not say, hey, by the way, when are we doing all this other stuff? No, no, no. Take a break. Say, listen, John, very excited about this new relationship. You know, we've been at it for about 6 months. Now we're there. But I've got to ask you a sort of a tough question, and I want you to think about it for a second. You mentioned before, and I don't want to drop the ball here, that you've got a lot of other projects coming up. I don't want to be a pest. And again, I only want to talk to you about the good work we're doing with each other, but when are we bringing that up again? When are we going to have that conversation again, right? Because again, if I want to know the future, I've got to bring it to the present. It's the best time to ask. It takes 5 seconds of guts, a couple seconds of guts to just say, when are we going to have that conversation again? And by the way, that's a very open-ended question. What's going to happen on the other end? New client's going to say, Greg, let's talk early next week. You know what? Perfect. I'm actually going to call you to find out how we did on phase one with you, right? That would be a perfect time to talk about phase two, three, or the potential of that. Additionally, other future things we can bring up are referrals. People just don't ask for referrals. Why is that? Look, it sounds like we were able to help you in A, B, and C. Now, if you think about your inner circle, people that you spend a lot of time with, John, who do you believe might also, I might be able to help accomplish some of similar goals for, the way I was able to help you? Anybody come to mind for you? And they may not have someone now, but what a great opportunity and a great time to bring that conversation up versus later when you're still going to be relevant, no question, but right now you are eye to eye and shoulder to shoulder. Good time to bring it up. There's other things. Future business is important, right? Referral talk. I really like to establish what happens next within the relationship. So really an upfront contract for what we do next. I'm always into professional performance. I'm always into professional improvement, personal improvement. You know what, Chris, as we're working together now, I'm going to ask you the top two or three ways that you're kind of grading me. It's been a while since I've got a report card, but how are you grading me? What are the things that really you value in a representative like myself? I mean, what is it? I mean, we've talked a lot about the solutions, but personally, what can I do to be there for you and put your mind at ease? Find out the scorecard they have on you, right? That's all that client-centric stuff. And people feel good. It's not just, hey, by the way, you just closed with me. Perfect. Talk to you later. And we leave. No. We want to extend this relationship. We want to expand this relationship. Find out, again, other ways to go deeper and wider within the organization and doing so by really being there for our new clients. Now, that's an awful lot to think about within the post-sale step. There's only one additional thing I'll bring up here. Everybody's got a different love language, right? The new client you're working with, when it comes to how they communicate, it's important to know that. You know, people like to be reached and people like to reach out. This is also a great time to figure out the best way to communicate, because you think you have it because you've dealt with gatekeepers and you've found ways to get them back into your life. But now that they're a client, that might be your conversation. And again, it's a great time to do it in the post-sale. You know, now that we're working together, you know, there may be times that I'm going to reach out to you, you know, check in, make sure that things are going well the way we've promised, and certainly on your end, the expectations you have. Now, a lot of my clients like email, and some like text, but traditionally, a lot of folks will just say, call me on my landline, call me on my cell phone. For you, when you think about it, what's the best way to reach you, and what's your best way to communicate with me? Throw it out there. Find out. Best communication. Scorecard. Buyer's remorse, vendor vengeance, an awful lot to talk about. Now, we've talked about a lot when it comes to post-sell, and we certainly talked about embedding and baking in referral talk into our conversations after the sale. For more information on how to do that, talk about referrals, inner and outer circles, talk to your local Sandler trainer. Talking about closing the sale, fulfillment, and post-sell. Now, the entire success of a Sandler presentation is really relies upon, have you set a very clear, mutually understood upfront contract for the presentation? Let's face it, if we get all the way to the end of a fantastic presentation that does outline the pains, the budget, the decision, yet we don't set clear next steps as to what happens at the end. In other words, we're not explicit as to what happens at the end, where are you left? You're left with sleepless nights. Not knowing where you stand, that's not a good feeling, especially when you were spot on. You didn't paint pictures in your prospect's picture, right? You stayed true to what was important, and you really followed a very important rule, which was sell today, educate tomorrow. All those things considered, setting up what happens next after the presentation, so vital. And if you think about where you are when you do that, right? You've talked about pain, budget, and decision. Once you've really identified the decision-making process and you're moving towards your presentation, because sometimes it may be those are when we qualify and we're really setting up a presentation later, well, you know, right before you present, you review and you set that ultimate upfront contract. Now, the post-sell step, we talked about the factors that are important. What are we preventing? Backouts. Buyer's remorse, it happens all the time, right? Our competitor canceling because of the competitor or the incumbent vendor. These are all things that were discussed. And we gave you a couple tactics and techniques for doing it. Now, there's a lessons learned form. There's certain things you probably are saying to yourself, you know what, I've been doing that a long time. I need to stop doing that. And then some of you are saying, hey, here's some things I need to start. Whatever it may be, take some time. Complete that. It was a lot of information in a short amount of time. Jot down the things that resonated the most for you. Complete the knowledge testing. It's been fun. I'm looking forward to our future opportunities to meet. Until that time, good selling and talk soon.
Glad you joined us for Chapter 8, Closing the Sale, Fulfillment and Post-Sell. Next in the Sandler Foundations is Chapter 9, Improving Your Batting Average.